Welcome to Gracious Words. Gracious Words is taken from the weekly women's Bible study taught by Cheryl Broderson at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
We behold your glory, God, in the face of Christ. It shows us who you are, revealing who you are.
We are all leaders in some way, shape, or form. Good leaders know who they are following. On today's program, we'll see how Paul's letters encouraged the early church leaders to stand firm in their faith and lead by example in the way of Jesus. Here is part two of Cheryl's message titled, Introduction to the Pastoral Epistles.
Psalm 16 says, in the presence of the Lord there is joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I think sometimes we are such a bad example of what it is to serve Jesus. Jesus is joy. He always did those things that gave the Father joy. I always do those things, John chapter 8, that please my Father or elate my Father or bring joy to my Father. You see, Jesus just didn't do like, I always obey and I keep the standard. No, he said, I'm always delighting my Father. I'm always making my Father smile. Isn't that what you want to do? Isn't that how you want to lead others? And say, come with me and let's put a smile on God's face. Let's just make God so happy today because we can. Let's lead people to joy because joy is something that God has for all of us. We do live in perplexing times. Times like Timothy and Titus and Onesiphorus and Philemon lived in. And the time that we live in, this perplexing time, begs for leaders, begs for women who will be willing to lead. Too many people want to sit on the sidelines and critique the game. They want to sit on the sidelines and critique the leaderships. Well, if I was quarterback right now, I wouldn't have done a Hail Mary. If I was the halfback, I wouldn't have done whatever halfback or that halfback did, because I'm not real sure what halfbacks do. I know my dad played halfback in college. You know, we sit there and we critique the leadership. I don't know why he used that word, and he does this, and that church had masks, and this church doesn't have masks, and we're always critiquing the leadership. And that's because we're not leaders. When you begin to lead, you have compassion for other leaders. You know that the minute you lead, and this is the bad news about leadership, you get on Satan's radar. And that's why we need, as leaders, as women who are all called to be leaders, to support one another, to be for one another. But have you noticed that there are so many people who are staying home and just critiquing leadership from the comfort of their living room, watching church instead of being part of the church and being in the church and being a leader in the church or a leader in their community? But God is not calling us to complain. Do you realize that complaining is not a spiritual gift? And the children of Israel were in trouble over and over and over again for complaining. God is not calling us to compare. In fact, in Corinthians, Paul would say, those that compare themselves to themselves are not wise. It is not wise to compare. Nor are we called to critique the leadership, to critique each other, to critique the church, but we are called to get in the game and start leading. But as a leader, which you are all called to be, every single person who came to Joyful Life, when you signed that card, you didn't realize you were actually signing up for leadership. You're called by God to lead, but good leaders must know who they are following. They must know personally, intimately, the one they are following. They must be able to say what he likes and what he dislikes, what his habits are, the way he works, the way he speaks, the intonations of his voice. You must know Jesus personally. Next, you must know the message of Jesus, what he says, what he offers, what he wants to give. You must know the hope of Jesus. What are Jesus' plans? We're told that we are the inheritance, that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, thinking about us believers who are his inheritance. What is the hope of Jesus? Remember how he said to Pilate, "My kingdom is not now of this world." There is a coming day when Jesus will rule and reign on the earth. But when he's king, he will be an accessible king, a king that we can touch and have conversations with, do lunch with. I'm not sure if coffee's going to be in the millennium or not, but if so, I'm making an appointment. We must know what he has given us. What is ours for this mission of leadership? What has he equipped us with? You know, so many times we have those things that we already need and we don't even realize it. I think about the widow woman that came to Elisha and said, "Help me. They're about to take my sons because I owe a debt and conscript them into slavery." And Elisha said to her, "What is in your house?" And she said, "Nothing but a little bit of oil." And then he told her, "Borrow every vessel you possibly can from neighbors. Find all the ones that you possibly have in your house. Go into your house and begin to take that little bit of oil and fill every vessel." And she found that what she already had in her house, once touched by God, was enough. Moses, when he said to the Lord, "I don't know how I'm supposed to lead," God said, "Moses, what's in your hand?" And he says, "Oh, this, it's a staff." God said, "Throw it down," and it became a snake. Then God said, "Pick it up," and it became a rod again. And with that rod, Moses went into Pharaoh's court and demanded the release of the Israelites. With that rod, he brought a plague of locusts and frogs and lice. With that rod, the Red Sea parted. You see, you need to know, what has God already given you? What do you have for this journey? You need to know what he is doing. You need to recognize his work. This is the Lord, and I want to be part of what the Lord is doing. You need to recognize where he is going. Where is he going? And get behind him, because you're following Jesus and others will follow you. You need to know what the deterrents, the distractors, the detractors, the detainers, the drainers, and the disasters and delays that will be in the way. Did you get that? Wasn't that delightful? Deterrents, distractors, because you're going to find all these. As I was looking in Timothy, trying to find a name for all the things that Paul was warning Timothy about, and then later Titus about, I found there to be deterrents, distractors, detractors, detainers, drainers, disasters, and delays. And we'll kind of identify those as we go through the book of 1 and 2 Timothy, what they are. A good leader not only knows these things, but he is prepared for them. He is prepared. He is not taken back when these things happen, because he knows they are part and parcel to leading. A good leader, therefore, will model how to deal with deterrents, distractors, detractors, detainers, drainers, disasters, and delays. He will exemplify good leadership to others. But a good leader will also pass down to others. He will invest in others all that has been invested in him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul said, "The God of all comfort comforted us so that we might be able to comfort others." In 2 Timothy 2:2, and isn't that easy? Just think 2:2:2. Paul said, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Years ago, I was at Target and I saw this fountain, and it was three pots, and the big pot was pouring into the second pot, which was pouring into the third pot. And as fountains go, the water was all recycled back to the first pot. And I thought, I want that fountain, but it was more money than I wanted to spend. But I loved that fountain. And I just think that's our mission. What you receive, you are to pour into others. If you just hold it all in, this living water, you know what will happen? It will become stagnant water. You are meant to pour it in to others. The world needs leaders who will lead to and in the way of Jesus. God is calling you out from the world of spectator to the calling of leader. God is calling you into his purposes and into his work. If you are not leading others to Jesus, you will be leading them somewhere else and to someone else, because you're leading, whether you realize it or not. Years ago, I remember my daughter, Kristen, she used to do everything I did at three, and I didn't really realize it. But one day she was dusting, and she was pretending to dust, and she's like, "Stupid table gets so dusty." And I realized that's how I was cleaning the house. Stupid refrigerator with all the prints on it. And I realized I need to change. How wonderful to have a refrigerator that keeps all of our foods cold. And here's a big one, preserved. But I realized that she was following my example. I also noticed one day that my daughter, Kelsey, was a little condescending to her little brother, Braden. She kept calling him, "Hey, sweetie, sweetie." And I thought that was a little ridiculous, considering they're only like 22 months apart. And then I realized, I was like, "Sweetie, sweetie." If you're not leading them to Jesus, you're leading them in something else or to something else. People need Jesus. They don't need financial advice. They don't need your medical advice. They don't need to know what you read on the internet about sunflower seeds or pumpkin seeds or vitamins. They need Jesus. They need you to take them right to Jesus. The Holy Spirit will quicken their hearts what they need if you will only take them to Jesus. I see a lot of distracted and detoured Christians right now. I see a lot of Christians in other ways, and they don't even realize that they've left the way of Jesus for a political way, a moral way, a financial way, a romantic way, a comfortable way. They don't even realize that they've left the way of Jesus. I feel like COVID has just put this damper on everything, so that the flame that we once had for Jesus is just flickering. And And I believe that leaders need to rise up and take that little flame and fan it into a fire, a consuming fire again. We need to come back fully to the way of Jesus. I'm not saying that any of these things, it's not wrong to be moral. It's good to be moral. It's good to teach virtue and high values. It's good to vote for godly leadership. It's good to support your family. And it's good to love your husband or be in love. It's all right to take a rest. But I'm talking about people who don't even want to leave their house anymore, that don't care about ministering to others, that just want to do whatever it takes to stay comfortable, whatever that means. And so they've left the way of Jesus, which is always going to be a way of sacrifice. It's always going to be a way of putting others first. When I was a little girl, we used to sing a song, Jesus and Others and You. What a wonderful way to spell joy. J is for Jesus, for he has first place. O is for others we meet face to face. Y is for you in whatever you do. Put yourself last and spell joy. It's time to rise up. It's time for all of us to recommit ourselves to the way of Jesus. It's a Romans 12, 1 and 2 time. It's time to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service, and to stop being conformed to this world, but once more to be transformed that we may approve the good and excellent way of the Lord. It's time to be the leaders he is calling us to be. Think of it. Think of it. God, the Almighty God, Yahweh, creator of everything, creator of stars and universes, wants you. Yes, I know. I don't know where this might point. I'm on camera, but you and you and you and you. He wants you. He wants you to rise up and say, yes, Lord, use me. I will lead in the way of Jesus. I will walk in the way of Jesus. I will lead others to Jesus. God has purposes for you in these perplexing times. God wants to bring the fullness of the way of Jesus, which is the way of victory, because it says in 2 Corinthians that God always leads us in victory by Christ Jesus. God wants to lead us in the parade of victory as we follow Jesus, as we lead others. And the way of Jesus is the way of good. It's the way of justice. It's the way of righteousness. It's the way of the kingdom of our God by the means of love, shalom, faith, and light. Not that we concentrate on those things, but we concentrate on Jesus. And that's what happens. When we put Jesus first, we get righteousness. When we put Jesus first, we get agape. When we put Jesus first, we get joy. We get shalom. This year, we will be studying what is called the pastoral epistles. I love this because they're personal letters written by the Apostle Paul to men who were living in perplexing times. They are letters on how to lead others to Jesus, how to lead in the way of Jesus, even when there are narcissists, even when there's the proliferation of evil in the culture, even when the faith of many has grown cold and there are imposters in the church, even when you are slandered and maligned. They are manuals with the instructions that each of us need to lead, to live, and to love by. Leading in the way of Jesus is not just an occupation or a ministry. It is a way of life, and it is a disposition that we will hold, and we will become more and more like Jesus. In these epistles, we will be training in the way of Jesus. We will learn who we are in Jesus. We will learn what the Lord has given us for leadership, our gifts. We will learn where we are going, how to get there, how to deal with the deterrents, distractors, detractors, detainers, drainers, disasters, and delays that will be in the way. And if you memorize those, I'll give you a silver dollar. In order to help facilitate your training for leadership, we will be studying these pastoral epistles that Paul wrote to Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. We will study the text. You have textbooks, either the challenge or you have the book that we wrote. And as you study that, the Holy Spirit will be ministering to you personally. There is something about writing the answers. And you find that sometimes your answer is so good. You're like, I wrote that? That is so good. And you realize that the Holy Spirit was writing and speaking through you and causing you to write it down. You will have that experience. That's not just the experience of me. That's the experience of every leader. Remember what you're called to be? Thank you, all five of you. You are called to be leaders. This is the expectation for all of you. You know, I love it when the Pharisees came to Jesus. They said to him, we know that you speak the truth, and we know that you're no respecter of persons. We know that you don't favor men over women. You don't favor the rich over the poor or the poor over the rich. We know that you give generously to all. Do you know that? He wants to speak to you in your study, as you open your Bible to 1 Timothy, as you answer the questions. I promise you, if you pray and ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you, guess what? He will be there, and he will lead and guide you and minister through what you write and the questions you answer. Then, by discussion, I fully expect you to be encouraged as you realize that you are not alone. One of the things the devil likes to do is isolate us, tell us we're the only person going through whatever we're going through, that nobody else knows what we've been, that God is being unfair, picking on us, and nobody else has been through it. That's how he lies. But when you get in that discussion group, you will find that you are not alone. And not only that, what you've been through, what you've heard from the Lord, somebody in that group needs to hear. You will learn how to minister to others. You will learn how to talk about Jesus without apprehension, without fear, without stuttering. You will freely be able to talk about Jesus. And our prayer is that you will form friendships and bonds and receive spiritual affirmation and inspiration. And as we listen to the proclamation of the text, as I teach the word, I am praying that it will bring clarity, affirmation, confirmation, inspiration, encouragement, and resolve to you to walk in the way of Jesus and to walk and take others to Jesus. The culture desperately needs those who will lead in the way of Jesus and to Jesus, who will stand out and who will lead in a different direction. They're all going that direction, and we're going this direction towards Jesus. Can I get an amen?
The pastoral epistles are personal letters written by the Apostle Paul to men who were living in perplexing times, much like we are today. They are letters on how to lead others to Jesus and live in his way. They are a manual for each of us, instructing us how to lead, live, and love as Jesus did. As we make this our objective, it will become our way of life and make us more and more like Jesus. Our culture desperately needs to know the truth and way of Jesus. May God use our lives as a witness for Him. We hope you have been blessed by today's Bible study. For more information about the Gracious Words radio program and the teaching ministry of Cheryl Broderson, please visit our website at graciouswords.com. Coming up next time on the Gracious Words program, we'll see what healthy authority looks like as we continue our series, Letters to Lead, Live, and Love By, in the first epistle to Timothy with Cheryl Broderson. We do hope you make plans to join us. Again, for more information, please visit our website at graciouswords.com. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.